morning sessions. We have two sessions on mornings, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So that's 2 by 3, 6 sessions, that Narad Prasanga. Okay, so this Panchakanya, there are several references to these five women in our Shastras, in many of the Puranas, in Valmiki Ramayana, Tulsi Ramayana also, different places they are mentioned. So we'll see that starting today. I'll tell you who these five are and all that. Huh? First let us sing a little bit. We'll do salutations to Lord Ganesh, to Mother Saraswati, and then to our Guru. Om Vakratunda Mahakaya Surya Koti Sama Prabha Nirvighanam Kurume Deva Sarvakaryeshu Sarvada. Saraswati Namastubhyam Varade Kamarupini Vidyarambham Karishyami Siddhir Bhavatu Me Sada. Samast Jana Kalyane Niratam Karunamayam Namami Chinmayam Devam Sadgurum Brahma Vidvaram. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwaraha, Gurur Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hari Om. Here's a very simple bhajan on Shri Ram. To listen to the words, you'll be able to repeat also. Karuna Nidhan Prabhu Shri Ram, Karuna Nidhan Karuna Nidhan Prabhu Shri Ram. Karuna Nidhan Prabhu Shri Ram, Sita Vallabha Hanumat Sevita, Vallabha Hanumat Sevita, Bharat Pran Hari Priya Raghura, Bharat Pran Hari प्रियर भरत प्राण हरि प्रिय रघुरा करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम दशरथ नंदन संत जन रंजन दशरथ नंदन संत जन रंजन माया प्रेरक मुक्ति प्रदायक माया प्रदायक करुणा निधान प्रभु श्री राम करुणा निधान जय जय राम जय जय राम जय सिया राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय सिया राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय सिया राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय सिया राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय सिया राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय जय राम जय सिया 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 राम सियावर रामचंद्र की जय So there's a very famous verse which says Ahalya Draupadi Sita Ahalya Draupadi Sita Tara Mandodari Tatha. These are the five kanyas which are mentioned there. It's very wonderful. It says Pancha Kanya Smare Nityam Mahapataka Nashanam or Mahapapa Nashanam. Pataka is better because this Chanda will be kept. Mahapataka Nashanam. What it means is by remembering these five kanyas, Smare Nityam actually says all the time. Not only on mornings, but remembering them all the time. That all our sins and all our papas, actually, we could hardly translate papa into sin in English, you know. There are many, many Sanskrit words I want to tell you as we are starting. Please pay attention to this. And better you learn those words in Sanskrit directly rather than translate them into English, because the Sanskrit word comes packed with so many meanings and so many, you know, different things attached to those words. But this, the English word sin could hardly translate papa. If you start thinking about the word papa in our shastras. So, he says, by remembering this panchakanya, that all our papas will be removed, or we'll be saved from sorrow. This is easy meaning. Simple meaning. We'll be saved from great sorrow. Yes. So now, you know, sorrows and afflictions, you know, anguish and pain and all that. The most striking thing in the verse, which would have struck your mind already, is they're called as panchakanya. And all of them were married, you know. In the verse itself is telling. Oh, and there's one more thing about the verse. There's a different rendition of the verse, a different recension of that verse, which replaces Sita with Kunti. You'll see another recension of that same verse. So it'll be Ahalya Draupadi Kunti Tara Mandodari Tatha. Like that. I think the original would have been Sita, the older one. Later would have been changed to Kunti, because Kunti is of Mahabharata time, Sitaji is of, you know, the yuga before, one yuga before. So anyway, these are the five, with the older verse we'll go. That is, Ahalya, Draupadi, Sita. We'll also touch on Kunti when we get there. But we'll stick to that first verse. Then, Tara, Mandodari, Tatha. Tatha is not another woman. Tatha means an aunt. Tatha here means including, like that. And, as also, like that. Okay, so it says, Panchakanya Smare Nityam. Will you remember them all the time? Then, Mahapataka Nashanam, or Nashini, sometimes the last word also, there are different recensions of that. But the meaning comes out same. It's Sanskrit is a very wonderful language. Sometimes when you make a slip of the tongue, that meaning comes out sometimes very meaningful also. And then other times you have to be careful. Some other meaning will come. Like in our aarti, you know, Jagadishwara aarti. There is Om Jai Jagadish Hare. And then at one point, the original writing is Parabrahma. Parabrahma. Everybody say Parabrahma. Parabrahma has become Parabrahma. They have made Parabrahma. But that also has meaning also. Even after making a mistake, the meaning is there. And good meaning also, not bad meaning. It's good. This language is wonderful. Anyway, so here, there are different Mahapataka Nashini, Mahapataka Nashanam, whatever recension is there, the meaning turns out to be same. It is fine. So now, five kanyas, and then we'll have to see also why they call it kanyas. And this first one, we'll start just like that in order only. The first one is Ahalya. She's given, his story comes in Ramayana. Ahalya. In Valmiki Ramayana, first Valmiki ji spoke about this Ahalya. And then Tulsidaji, passing reference. See Tulsidaji's doha, how brief. He finishes the whole story in one chapai. Valmiki ji goes into a whole long. See. You can sing also Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ashram ek dekh mag mahi Shri Ram Jai Ram खग मृग जीव जंतु तह नाही पूछा मुनि शिला प्रभु देखी सकल कथा मुनि कहा विशेषी श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम जय रघुराम Sita Ram Jai Sita Ram Siyavara Ramachandra ki jai Ashram ek dekhi mag mahi Bhagwan Shri Ram is going with Vishwamitra They left this palace and they are going towards Vishwamitra's ashram Actually it is after that also He reached Vishwamitra's ashram and next morning they are going towards Ayodhya Janakpur He protected that yagna and all you know the story na He went there to protect that yagna of Vishwamitraji. And this that was finished. He removed that Taraka and that Marich and Subahu and all. And then he was going towards Janakpur now. And on the way, ashram ek dekhi maga. Maga means on the path, marg. Maga means marg. And that path, he saw an ashram. Then he asked, Khaga mriga jeeva jantu taha nahi. There was no bird, no animal, no nothing. That place was bare. Desolate. Then, Pucha Munihi Sila Prabhu Dekhi. Prabhu Sila Dekhi is he saw a stone there in that ashram. And he asked the Muni Vishwamitra, so what is this ashram and what is this stone doing here? And all that he asked. And Tulsidaji just writes, Sakala Katha Muni Kahabi Seshi. The Muni just told the whole story. Finish. That is the reference. Then Bhagavan Shri Ram went there and he touched that stone with his feet. Actually, it has to be foot, not feet. No? But I can't imagine him lifting his 2 feet now to touch that. And that stone turned into Ahalya. Tulsidasi uses the word stone, Sila. In Valmiki Ramayana, She doesn't turn into any stone or anything. She remains Ahalya only. So the story there is a little bit different. This is by the time Tulsidasi came along, which is just recently, different stories had picked up on. Oh, we say, in different yogas, different things happened. Like there are many differences in the two Ramayana. So they happen in different yogas. Different yoga means Ramayana always happens in Treta Yuga. You understand this thing, na? Ramayana happens in Treta Yuga only. And in the Treta Yuga leads to Dwapara Yuga. Dwapara Yuga to Kali Yuga. And then there's dissolution, Pralay. And again the whole thing starts over from Sat Yuga, Treta Yuga. So again Ramayana happens that next Treta Yuga. Like that. So Valmikiji would have written about one different Treta Yuga. And Tulsidasi would have written on a different Treta Yuga. And each time the story changes a little bit. Like our life, from life to life, whenever we are born as human being, our story doesn't change much also. Because we make only incremental changes. As much as we do here, we undo here. So the story is more or less same. Anyway, so there also, the story changes a little bit here and there. So now, in that Valmiki Ramayana, let me tell you that story. It's a very interesting story. You know, Brahmaji had created this Ahalya. Brahmaji had created this Ahalya himself. And she was the most beautiful human being that the earth had ever seen, or the universe had ever seen. See the story of Brahmaji, the most beautiful. Brahmaji had never created anybody so beautiful. And as a child, he brought her and gave her to this Gautam Rishi, who was doing this tapas. Tapasvi, Gautam Rishi, in forest. You take care of this Ahalya. The meaning of this Ahalya name, you know, Ahalya means, literal meaning, would be blemishless, untouched, virgin, you know, like we say virgin forest, virgin area, region, North Pole, like that, that kind of, untouched. This is the meaning. So Brahmaji had created her and gave her to this Gautam Rishi to take care of her. When she grew up, Gautam Rishi returned her to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji, being so pleased with this Rishi for having kept his word and having protected this child so well, Brahmaji said to Gautam Rishi, "You marry her." So Gautam Rishi married this Ahalya. She became his wife. And she came back to live in his ashram. She also had a son. His name was Shantananji. Not our Swami Shantananji, but his name was also Shantananji. Now, so what happened in this? I'll tell you this story and then we'll come back to all of this. Better tell this story and finish. This Indra. You know, our children in our Balvihar and all, they ask very interesting questions, you know. If this Indra and Agni and all of them, they do such bad things just like these Rakshasas and all, you know. The Rakshasas, they do really bad things. But if you see life of Indra and all, he really also does as many bad things as these Rakshasas. Then why they call us Devas and Asuras? Then all should be called as Asuras. And some child asked this in some camp I had gone. All should be called as Asuras only. You know, if you search your mind, really, this is a very difficult question to answer, you know. Indra has done such terrible things throughout these old Shastras. No less than these Asuras and all. Why you call us Deva? So there's only one thing you will find. There's no time anywhere in the Shastras where any of the Devas ever superseded Bhagwan himself. Means to say, they never thought themselves to be greater than Bhagwan. But there are many Asuras. Like Hiranyakashipu, he told everybody, stop chanting Vishnave Namaha, Vishnave Namaha. Om Mahakashapave Namaha, you have to say. Like that. You have to chant his name. So he superseded even Bhagwan himself. But you will not find instances like that where the gods themselves think that they are greater than. They know that when they get in trouble, there is only one person to. There is somebody who, they understand that there is somebody who is greater. Like that. But Indra has done so many terrible things. And he has gotten so many different types of sharp also. Indescribable sharp and all he has gotten. So anyway, this Indra now, he looked at this Ahalya, and she's the most beautiful woman in the whole world. And He's the king of the gods. He's thinking, she should be my wife, you know. Not the wife of this Gautam Rishi, you know. She should be my wife. So he came down in Valmiki Ramayana and elsewhere, there's a material difference. Eh? There, he came and he made overtures to this Ahalya. And in Valmiki Ramayana, Ahalya knowingly committed adultery. Indra and Ahalya. Because there's adultery on both sides. Knowingly, Valmiki Ramayana. Here, in Tulsidasji and Kavitavali and all Tulsi's writings, he comes in disguise. She did not know that it was Indra. But see one very peculiar thing. In both cases, she got sharp. This is a very amazing story. Eh? You have a lot of thinking, a lot of reflection is required in this. There she knew. Here she did not know. When both the Ramayana, sharp is there. And this sharp, where she did not know, that it was. There she was not turned into a stone, you know, in Valmiki Ramayana, where she knew. This is Indra. She did not, she was not turned into a stone. Here, where she did not know, she was turned into a stone. So that when we read like that and all, we think, Bapre. Some anarth has happened, you know. All things have happened there which are inexplicable as though. But anyway, and there now, that sharp, Gautam Rishi gave terrible sharp to that Indra and sharp to this Ahalya also. Sharp, what do you know, na? Sharp means curse. Yes. In this Awadhi language, it is shrap. In proper Hindi, it becomes sharp. So anyway, there, Valmiki, that in that Valmiki Ramayana, Gautam Rishi gave a sharp to her that she'll be there all by herself for years and years in a desolate place with no creatures around. And she'll live a life of oblivion. And nobody will even know that she exists. A life of total oblivion. And without resistance also, she accepts that sharp there. Here, he said, you'll be turned into a stone. And same sort of conditions thereafter. I mean, she'll be there in that ashram alone. Gautam Rishi himself left there and went away to another Himalayan ashram. And she was left. So now, several things have to be answered in this. And right on the surface also, you would be having so many questions in your mind. And Bhagwan Shri Ram here, in this Tulsi Ramayana, he shows such great compassion on her. Also, Tulsidas actually has a very nice verse. And Bhagwan Shri Ram has so much compassion for her. See in this. I don't know if you'll be able to play. Try. Asa Prabhu Deen Bandhu Hari Karan Rahit Dayal O Rama Karan Rahit Dayal Tulsi Das Satte Baju Chari Kapat Janjal Siyabar Ram Chandra Bar Jai Sharanam Shankar Hari Om Jai Jai Siyaram. Asa Prabhu Deena Bandhu Hari Karana Rahita Da. Tulsidasji gives the explanation why Bhagwan shows so much compassion on her. And one of the explanations. One. He is Karana Rahita Dayal. This is a very famous line in Ramayana. Bhagwan's kripa, his compassion, his mercy, and his kindness is karana rahita. Karana rahita means his mercy. See, it is like asking, why does the sun shine? But that question is redundant, isn't it? The sun shines because the sun shines. Bhagwan Ram is compassionate and kind because that is his nature. He cannot help but be like that. He cannot do any other thing. Huh? Even if he kills Bali or he kills Ravan, he does it out of compassion. We do it out of anger and all, you know, and revenge and this and that. But if he does that, he does that out of compassion. And he'll tell them, oh, Ravan, you please, sir, you know, give up all of this. You return this. You know, I had gone to, I was having a camp in Flint. It was so funny, so wonderful. The little children, they were doing this Ram Leela on stage. So one little boy came in on the stage there, and Ravan is there with Sitaji, kidnapped Sita. And this other Ram comes in. Hey! Ravan, come here! You give back Sita right now, and I'll forgive you. Ravan looks at Sitaji and looks at Ram. Okay, take. Ravan got over. Whole thing finished. They are very good. Children are very creative, I tell you. But really, Ram gave so many chances to Ravan. And that jiva, he has to separate from that body out of compassion only. Whatever the Lord does, karana rahita dayal he is. Asa prabhu dina bandhu hari karana rahita dayal tulasi das satate prabhu chari kapat janjal tutiraji. Said, why don't we drop all our stupid worldly attachments and worldly preoccupations and all our things with this world and worship such a Ram. That Ram who is karana rahita dayal. Karana Binu, Kripal, and other places. In Aranyakanda and all. So nicely is he's described. So, Bhagwan saying, being like this, he touched that. See that.
Gautam Nari Shapabasa उपल देहि धरि धीर रामा उपल धरि धरि धीर चरण कमल रज चाहती कृपा करउ रघुबीर सियावर रामचंद्र पर जय शरणम शंकर हरि ओम जय जय सियाराम
ये चरण कमल रज चाहती. She's only waiting there, Gautam Rishi tells. Vishwamitra Muni tells. She's only waiting for the touch of your feet. Kripa karahu Raghubir. You please touch her. And he touched. And she emerged from that stone. So, the Bhagwan Shri Ram showed compassion. One reason is, his nature is like that only. What he'll do? He cannot do otherwise. If he were to do otherwise, he'll not be Ram. So he touched her and she emerged. Bright and brilliant, resplendent, she emerged from that stone. From that form, she took her original form. Then, second thing is, she had accepted that sharp very gracefully. And she had done tapas for a long number of years. So these are two very important points. One is, if we have done something wrong, the first step to rehabilitation, the first step to reformation, is to first accept that I have done something wrong. Human beings make a misstep right here. It's a terrible thing about human beings, all of us included. We never like these two things, I tell you. See, two things I'm going to tell you. If you pay attention to these very important, basic things, then your life will be transformed very easily. We don't like to say, I'm wrong. Or I was wrong. We don't like at all. The other second thing which is related to that, we don't like to say, I don't know. One is ethical, moral. The other one is epistemological. I don't know. And they're related to something deeper also, both of them. The something deeper is, look, my nature is Satchidananda. I am smitten by Maya. So I am taking myself to be something other than what I am. It means I have made a wrong judgment there from the basic thing itself. That I am Satchidananda, I am taking myself to be BMI. So there's something wrong right there. So if I admit the right thing, that I am Satchit Ananda, this Maya will be gone. So the Maya is so powerful, it doesn't want us to say, I am wrong. Because if I go on saying, I am wrong, eventually I will come to the understanding that I am wrong about my identity also. I am thinking I am BMI. So Maya is very powerful, it doesn't want us to say. And the other one is, I don't know. That also we don't like to say, because my nature is knowledge only. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. My nature is knowledge. Maya doesn't want us to realize that our nature is. That is, Maya will be banished forever. It's the power of Maya. So we have to really keep at it, these two things. I don't know and I am wrong. We have to learn to say. That is why I see all quarreling and fighting and this and that and shouting at each other. Because two people who are always quarreling or fighting, it is because one is thinking he's right and the other one thinking he's right, isn't it? Neither wants to admit that they are wrong. See, one wife and husband, they were quarreling. Big quarrel, fight going on. Then that wife eventually came up with a solution. Okay, Baba, okay. Enough. I'll tell you something. I'll make a deal with you. I will admit I am wrong if you admit I am right. Solution, eh? He scratched his head. What was that? say again. She said, I told. I will admit I am wrong if you admit I am right. He thought, okay, you go first. She said, I am wrong. He said, you are right. No, see, that whole fight will start again. Yeah, back to square one. But this is how it goes. So Ahalya, by gracefully accepting that shab without the least resistance, in Valmiki Ramayana, not the least resistance, that is an acknowledgement of my misstep. I have done something wrong. That is a part of the story there. Then, the sharp also, and there, Gautam Rishi also, in both the stories, and wherever it comes, Gautam Rishi also had relented. You know, there's a very interesting thing. Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharishi, I have read in his writing somewhere, he said that after Gautam Rishi gave that sharp to Ahalya, that he wandered the earth for 6,000 years without a moment of peace of mind. There's such things are there also. That sharp was so powerful. And he was trying to relate that you cannot really give a sharp to anybody without something having effect on you also. I mean, you cannot wish anybody bad or say anything bad about anybody without that thing affecting you. That was his point. So anyway, that aside, I'm telling you all points on the side as we are going along this story. So he had also said that you do worship of Ram and that Ram will come one day and bless. So he had also, along with the sharp, gave blessing also. There's one more thing about that. Every curse is really a blessing in disguise. There's another point about our Shastras. There is no place where you could ever see a curse where there was something good that did not turn out from that. You just look a little bit deeper and you will see that, thank God. Even where Kaikeyi and Mantara got together to banish Ram. There's so many good things which turned out from that. Amazing things. So it is there. You know why? Because Bhagwan has made this universe so well. The Lord has constructed this universe so well. It is supremely amazing. Our eyes are defective, so we only see one side of everything. That is our defect, not Bhagwan's. He has made this universe so nicely that there, he has put positive and negative in the same atom. Huh? He's put the positive and negative in the same atom. We only like to see positive. We don't like to see negative. Just as he has put positive and negative in every atom, he has put problem and solution together. He has put rich and poor together. He has put all the pairs of opposites together. So if there's a problem, there's also a solution. If you see something bad is happening, you just look a little bit to at this world and you will see. And wherever you see anything bad is happening, one person is suffering, that is at because somebody else is having joy and happiness at the cost of that person's suffering. But the world balances out very nicely like that. So every sharp also, every curse also, has been accompanied by great blessing. You just have to look a little bit. So there, Gautam Rishi also gave that blessing, yes, that you will get darshan of. In fact, you know, in this Tulsi Ramayana, you see this. Parisat pad pavan sokan savan pragat bhai tap punj sahi dekhat raghunayak jan sukhdayak sanmukh hoi kar jori dahi prem adhira पुलक सरीरा मुख नहीं आवई बचन सही सय बर भागी चरण नीलागी जुगल नयन जल धार वही. Like this she sings such a most wonderful, you would have heard Guruji singing this. Guruji loves this stuti. She sings this most wonderful Ahalya Stuti, it is called, in this Tulsi Ramayana. And there, she praises Bhagwan Shri Ram in such wonderful words. Parasata pada pavan sokana savan, the dust of the feet of Bhagwan Shri Ram is that which removes all sorrows. Pragata bhai tapa punja sahi dekhata ragunayaka jana sukhadayak. Sanmukha hoi kare jori. She put her hand together and she was in amazement. The Lord of the universe himself has presented himself before me, in front of me. Ati prema adhira apulaka sarira mukha nahi aavai bachana kahi. Words could not come out from her mouth in the beginning. But then she went on to, she collected herself and went on to praise Bhagwan Shri Ram. Dhiraj man kinha Prabhu kahu chinha raghupati kripa bhagati pai, that the Lord himself has come to bless her. He has chosen her as though to give his blessings. Ati nirmala bani astuti thani jnana gamya jaya raghurai, that Lord who is beyond all knowledge also, who is knowledge and at the same time beyond knowledge. In very pure words, she praised him. Main Arya Pavana Prabhu Jaga Pavana. See, I am this impure woman who has committed such transgression. And you are the Lord who purifies. I am impure and you are the one who purifies the whole world. Ravana Ripu Jana Sukhadai. This is an interesting line, you know. She calls him Ravan and Ripu. I mean, look, he's still a teenager. He's going with Vishwamitra. There is no Ravan in picture even. Huh? And she's praising him as Ravana, Ripu, the enemy of Ravan. This is happening in Balkand. Ravana will be introduced in Aranyakand. So that's why I was telling you, the story goes around. So she had known the whole story. That Ram, okay. Then, Rajiva Lochana, Bhavavaya Mochana, Pahi, Pahi, Saranai, Ai. You save me, Prabhu. And he's the one with lotus eyes and all that. Muni Shapa Jo Dinha, and this is the line I'm reading it for to tell you this. Muni Shrap Jo Dinha Ati Bhalakina. That shrap which Gautam Muni gave to me, he did well by giving me that. She herself accepted. He did well by giving me Raja. Ati Bhalakina. Param Anugrahame Mana. Considering my great welfare, he gave me that. So he's so much of acceptance and all the years of tapas and all that she has done. See, the result is Ram Darshan. The result in the end is Ram Darshan. So what is greater than that? Let me have 10 shaps if I'll get Ram Darshan in the end. Like that. Doesn't matter. If you will guarantee that I'll have Ram Darshan in the end, give me any number of shaps then. That type of bhav is there in her stuti. Eh? So she accepted very, very easily. And in the end, see, the benefit, sharp turned out really to be a boon. So all sharp is like that in Shastras. And people say, but you know these rishis and all, they're rishis, how they can get angry and give people sharp? How rishi can get angry? Listen, and if you have some blessing coming, you don't know how Bhagavan will send that blessing to you, you know. We look at only sharp, and we think something bad is there. You know, there's at some place, you may have seen, Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi at one point attempted to give his mother moksha. You heard the story? He touched her. And his intention was she'll get moksha, you know. But what that did, it started working out her karmas. All karmas have to be worked out. That touch started working out all her karmas, you know, bring everything together in a short time. But the intensity of that experience was too much for her to bear. She started screaming with pain, and he had to remove his hands, and that process was never completed. All the karmas came together to be worked out in a few moments, but it was too much. Sharp actually is something like that only, where all our karmas have to be worked out by the pronouncement of that sharp. And so who could bear that thing? Everything will be worked out, and then that person will be freed. So nothing really bad, is really something intense which is going on there. This is when you look deeper into this whole thing about Shapana. But anyway, there are a few things now which we have to answer. And I told she did a lot of tapas. And tapas, actually in Sanskrit, the word tap, the root tap means to burn. I have to burn. And you're burning there what? I burn out all my karmas of past and all. To burn. I mean, the individual will burn also because it is not an easy thing. He goes through a lot of pain. He undergoes pain, discomfort and all that. But in the end, all karmas are burnt out like that. So now, first question which I raised when we started. They call us Kanya. Why are they all called as Kanya? You will notice that all of them are of some sort of divine birth. All of them are some sort of divine Buddha, all the five women. And if you include Kunti, she is also, Kunti was blessed that she could summon any of the gods. She could summon any of the gods. And by that god, she will have a child. So she first summoned that Surya Bhagwan and put that baby Karan, Karna, like that. Like this, all of them had some special powers. They had, you know, blessed with certain things. And in, you will hear our Gurudev saying also, in our tradition, really, purity refers mostly to our mind rather than to our body. So in their mind, they were all very chaste and pure women. And they were playing earthly roles, as it were, all of them. Playing some earthly role. And then there is a lot of symbolism in their actions for us to learn. So they are called pure, in this case, Kanya. Here we'll have to take the word Kanya to mean pure. They are called pure because in mind, see, not one ounce of resistance from Gautam Rishi, not one ounce of trying to justify that what I did was not was right and all that kind of thing. It was very, very straightforward and easy acceptance and all that in Ahalya's case, the story we are seeing right now. So, then second thing, if we are saying, using the word Kanya, look here. When I use the word Kanya, the woman who is very pure, when I use the word Kanya, and I keep in my mind purity as the meaning, that will do bring benefit to who? That will bring benefit to me. Na? So that is designed by the rishis, that verse is designed by the rishis, so that it will keep my mind thinking about purity itself. It will keep my mind thinking about goodness, which all of them embodied. So the word is given, Kanya word is given, to help the sadhak. And that's why you have to go on remembering them. And don't forget the word. Remember all five of them. But remember, they were very virtuous and very pure in their mind. So like that, that word would have been used by the rishis. Like, otherwise, how the word developed later on, the word Kanya is reserved for unmarried woman. The other thing you could say is that they would have been married to their respective husbands, but in truth and in fact, they were married to God. So that made them very pure, all of them. So from that point of view, you also call Kanya. All right, now we have to see Valmiki Ji's Ramayana and Tulsi Ji's Ramayana. In Valmiki Ramayana, Ahalya is given this sharp and she does this tapas for a very, very long time. But it appears now that she knowingly made a great transgression by committing adultery. So then the thing that followed is a teaching for us that if somebody knowingly does something which is not proper, knowingly commit adultery, then what is to follow is very dire, isn't it? Whatever is to follow, there will be very harsh, which actually happened. So then, that is a lesson for us or not? In her path to moksha, in Ahalya's path to moksha, to become one with Bhagwan, she is leaving a great message for us. She would have gone through the tapas, the burning and all that. But the message behind all of that is, if we commit such transgressions, the consequences are very dire for us. So one who commits adultery, there's such bad consequences is to follow. So therefore, if you don't want to bear these consequences, bear this sorrow, then don't commit adultery. Now, it appears as though the other one is even more tough to answer now. There she did not know. In Tulsi Ramayana, and the path with Tulsi takes up, she did not know that this was Indra who came there in that guise. Now, this is a very philosophical path. Tulsi Raji is way more philosophical than Valmiki ji. Because Tulsi Ramayana has all from Advaita Vedanta all the way to Dvaita. The whole range of Hindu darshan, all Hindu darshan are there in Tulsi Ramayana. So he gets very philosophical. Now, please pay attention to this very, very important point in Shastras, many times missed, very difficult to understand or to accept also. First, I'll tell you the principle. Then we'll see whether the principle is sound or not. The principle is not knowing is not a defense. Every human being has a duty to know. And if you don't know and you do something, you will be punished all the same. That is the principle. You may not accept it or understand it or whatever, but that is the principle. Like, for example, I don't know that I am Satchitananda. It is a difficult example. I'll give you an easy one just now. I don't know I am Satchitananda. Not knowing my Satchitananda Netya, I am suffering every day or not? Huh? We are all suffering. This principle, this basic and fundamental principle of life, has found its way into jurisprudence also. Suppose there is no stop sign by that junction. And then suddenly, the city corporation decides, we'll put a stop sign there because it is dangerous. You know, we need a stop sign. So they put a new stop sign there. So you've been coming there for the last 20 years, there is no stop sign. So you're not expecting a new stop sign there. So you just drive through. And that police officer knows that there's a new stop sign and people will be driving through. So he's waiting just down around the corner there. So you drive through and he stops you. He gives you a ticket. And you come before the judge. You cannot tell the judge, Your Honor, I did not know that they had put a new stop sign there. You have a duty to know. There's no defense in law also. So suppose somebody steals something and comes and sells it to you. When they arrest, they'll arrest that person who stole it and the person who bought it also. Correct or not? And you cannot go and tell the judge, Your Honor, I did not know the man stole the thing, you know. Not a defense. You have a duty to know. And then you could, so many other examples. Look here. The person sitting next to you in the bus or the train. Suppose that person has some communicable disease. Whether you know or don't know, you will get it or not. You will get it. Bhagawan, I did not know. And I sat beside him, you know. Why you punish me like that? All such defenses, all such questions, all you cannot ask. We suffer for ignorance every single day. The result of ignorance is suffering. In other words, we have a duty to know. That's why a human being has to go on knowing. That's why Bhagavan gave us an intellect. So we have a duty to, you know, if you really see that story well, you go back into the verses and you look at them, right? In case of Valmiki ji, it is easy. She gave way to temptation very clearly, very openly, which has consequences, which we saw there. Here, if you go back and read in Katha, Charita Sagar and different places where this story, different Puranas it comes, you will see you search between the words. Look here. He is my husband, Gautam Rishi. Right? He's a disciplined Rishi who does his ablutions in the morning at this time, who does his worship at this time, who does his meditation at this time, who does his havan at this time. And if something amiss comes in that whole thing, it is time for you to think or not. You have to start thinking, na? That this came at an odd moment. Gautam Rishi doesn't act like this. You know, that he's supposed to be doing this other thing. Let me think. Let me look. She didn't. You see? That's why I'm saying she has a duty to know. We all have a duty to know. Right? And we hear the cases in this instance is she. But she, he, anybody have a duty to know. Ignorance is never a defense in anything. So, very rashly, she, you know, without really giving due thought to this thing. And so, you know that many times you you don't know and they just go blindly and then you have to suffer the consequences. I did not know. But there's a basic principle in nature, in law, in everywhere. We all have a duty to know. That's why we talk all the time about awareness. This awareness word, you please don't relinquish this word. You keep thinking about this word. We have to be so aware of everything about us, around us, you know, connected with us, about our actions, what we do. Awareness is so important. And you see, every mishap, every accident, and the accident is we don't know this is going to happen. But we suffer the consequences of accident. All accidents are caused by lack of awareness only. A very important thing. So now, even if we do not know, we will have to bear the consequences of our actions. Actions done unknowingly. It cannot be absolved from them. Like for example, so I unknowingly killed somebody. And if somebody unknowingly killed me also, then see, social laws in a jurisdiction, those laws many times match the scriptures, but they cannot match perfectly. And many times the social laws will absolve you, but that doesn't mean that you absolve from. Like for instance, the social laws allow you to drink and smoke, isn't it? But the natural laws, do they allow you? The consequences will be there, isn't it? Legally, you don't have any consequences for smoking and drinking. But natural laws are there. Laws of prakriti are there. We still have consequences to get. So, this is about the nature of laws and all. And in unknowingly, I never knew that smoking was bad. You don't have to know. The consequences will all the same be there. So this is the case here, and the story is meant then to tell us, even if I don't know and I commit some wrong, that thing has consequences. Now, the best part she took the best part, immediate acceptance. I tell you, if when Yudhishthir went to Dhritarashtra and told, this kingdom belongs to the Pandavas, you please give this kingdom back to the Pandavas. If Dhritarashtra had just said yes and accepted this truth, that one moment would have averted this entire war. That acceptance of that truth is an amazing thing. That one moment of acceptance, if we do, it can bring about a whole new history. But there we don't. Listen, even in ordinary in ordinary things in life, they teach the same basic thing, you know. The Alcoholic Anonymous, when they go there, they first tell you, please accept that you have a problem. Because those who don't accept, they'll not go also. Then the rehabilitation starts. We have to accept that. That I do this wrong, I do that wrong. And I'm not up to scratch. I don't know if there's an American term, but it's in Trinidadian term. Trinitum. I'm not up to scratch. I have to make adjustments. Here. Like that. That acceptance is a very, very powerful thing. Eh? It is the beginning of our journey of transformation. All right, so these things are there in this story. And if you were to look for some words that describe, that you can take away from this, is first of all, acceptance, especially when we do something wrong. Second thing is, whether I know, as in the case of Valmikiji, or I do not know, as in the case of Tulsidasji, the consequences are still, yes. Consequences are still there. And you can see that from nature and everything also. Which tells a deeper point in our whole Vedanta. And this Vedantic point is there. What is that? I'm supposed to know. And this goes for every branch of my life. I'm supposed to know all about my life. Here's Bhagwan Sri Ram. Lakshmana is asking Bhagwan Sri Ram, so tell me what is the nature of this jiva? Who is this jiva? What is the difference between jiva and Ishvara? Bhagwan Sri Ram gives a very nice answer, you know. He says, Maya isana apu kahu jan kahiya so jeev banda mocha prada sarva para maya preda kseev. That this jiva is the one who doesn't know. See, Maya isana apu kahu jan na. He doesn't know about Maya, this world. He doesn't know about himself, Jeev, and he doesn't know about Ishvara. He doesn't know about the three things, the three J's, Jeeva, Jagat, and Jagadishvara. He doesn't know. But he has a duty to know. He has to know about himself. He has to know about the Jagat, the product of Maya. And he has to know about Jagadishvara. But he doesn't. In fact, he only wants to know that much about any one of them that will help him to get what he wants. He wants something from this world. He only wants to know, well, what things I have to do to get that much only he wants to know. But about nature, fundamentals of this world, all things are changing. Every jiva has a duty to know that about the world. He has a duty to know about himself. And he has a duty to know about Jagadishvara. So this message is there, also behind those lines, that we are supposed to know all things about my life. And if that awareness slips, if I slip from awareness, then I slip into the darkness of ignorance and the consequence, which is sorrow only. All right. So a very moving story. Now, the Panchakanya. We have finished one, so we have four. So now we have two more days. So we'll do two tomorrow and two the last day, like that. Or three tomorrow and one last day, whatever. We'll see. We split it up, whichever way. Okay. But Ahalya now, after singing this stuti, Tulsidasi concludes. She went away to meet her Gautam Rishi. Chale Ram Lachiman Muni Sangha Gaye Jaha Jagapavani Ganga. This is Ram Lakshman, but in one of the previous line, she went away, which is, where is that line now, to meet Gautam Rishi wherever he was. He had also told her that as part of the a boon, actually. He was giving boon, really. So if you see as a in other words, for the Rishi also, when we say, when Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharishi says that he walked the earth 6,000 years and all in such a state, right? In other words, in order to bless this Ahalya, he had to endure 6,000 years of misery to bless Ahalya, to get Rama Darshan. So that is seeing from the other side. We always have to learn to see also from other side. Ravan kicked out Vibhishana. Sant Mahatma Lok, they see from other side. And Ravan did not kick out Vibhishana. He kicked Vibhishana to Ram. So it looks like a good thing now, isn't it? What are you doing here? Clinging on to your tamasic brother. Get lost. He kicked him all the way to Ram. Like that. So seeing from the other side. Okay. Because I told you, Bhagavan has packed positive and negative into every single thing. Nothing is devoid of it. Cyanide also has some positives. What you may say, whatever. Otherwise, why it is there? Bhagavan did not know why he put cyanide there. There has to be some benefit to that thing. You see? Alright. So learning to see from the other side. Okay. Now that my time is elapsed. And we will see tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Let us chant a little bit. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Shri